105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Now in its 46th year, the Cambridge Drama Festival runs from Tuesday to Saturday next week at the Mumford Theatre. I'm pleased to say I've been joined by Wendy Walford, who is one of the organisers there. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Julian.
Thank you very much for coming in. So how does this all work then? Is this lots of different drama groups, or what's the routine?
Absolutely right, yes. There are two performing companies each night, and at the end of each evening, a professional adjudicator will sum up the performances, find some positive criticism, and articulate what the audience might have felt, but don't necessarily know how to explain.
Ah, so this is like one judge or
a
team?
Person. So, okay. Of course, if you lose, you say it's highly subjective. And if you win, you say, her judgment was absolutely right.
And the same judge all the way through?
All the way.
Who is it? I should ask, shouldn't I?
Well, this year it is somebody called Mari O'Sullivan, who comes from Bristol.
Right, so you don't even make sure that it's somebody from out of town to reduce the possibility of bribes or anything like that coming in?
Yes.
Okay, so who's taking part in it all?
Well, we have got 10 companies, and we've got groups from outside Cambridge and also central Cambridge. So we've got groups from A Group from Biggleswade, Soham, City Centre, Bedford, and Swavesey Village College, and Clavering, as well as other city
companies. It's quite a wide range. There seems to be so many different drama groups in the round Cambridge. Any idea how many there are?
Altogether, I wouldn't like to guess. I would say In the county, 150.
That's a fair few, isn't it? Even though if you say that every reasonable sized village might have one, I suspect that's probably not the case anymore. But also plenty in the city as well.
Well, that's absolutely right. They don't all enter the festival, obviously. But I mean, the difficulty with the festival is that the companies don't accrue any money. It costs them to come to the festival.
Right, so you kind of have to have a successful year doing other stuff to enable you to, I guess, each one production is going to need costumes and staging, perhaps, of some sort.
That's right, yeah. Yes. So they've got to be able to finance the festival entry themselves.
Hmm. And I gather you're being looked after by those nice folks at the Penguins who are going to see...
Penguins are absolutely brilliant. I do suggest to anyone, excuse me, who wants something to do with the theatre but doesn't want to appear on stage, they join the Penguin Club because they're a great social group, and they come in and they set up the set and they clear the set at the end of the run, they stage manage, they find prop, they do all sorts of things backstage.
Mm. And what sort of standard are we expecting from those people who are taking part?
It does vary, I have to say. And, of course, when the reading committee reads the plays, we may like the plays, we may like the company, but whether the two things meld this year...
So the reading committee is, I guess, a kind of selection process, for want of a better description.
Yes, it is.
Mm, so
we have to consider our audience, of course.
Yeah, how many do you get in terms of entries? So do you lose people, or does...
We do sometimes have to turn people away.
Did you do that this year? I'm not going to ask who. That would be a bit bad.
We did turn, a couple away this year.
Oh, dear. That's not very good. So it's running from Tuesday through till Saturday at the Mumford Theatre. Is it divided into categories in any way, into different sort of groupings?
No, we try to plan each evening so that you don't get two very heavy things on one night. So you might get a comedy and a tragedy. You might get a musical even. So you have two plays and then you have the adjudicator.
Right, is there a little gap in between whilst the adjudicator makes their mind?
Intervals, and during the intervals, what we try to do is to give people an opportunity to mix together, the audience to confer. And Cambridge, I think, is quite different because we run little quizzes for the audience to take part in.
Oh, really? Oh, this sounds interesting. What sort of questions do we get?
For example, they're not things you can look up on the internet. So we might have visual things. So a famous face might come up on the curtain and you have to guess who that is. They might be in costume. This year we've got a costume, a quiz which will be a trifle difficult, I suspect, because it is working out what play it is, which is represented by a diagram of the set or stage directions.
You really need to be a bit of a theatre aficionado, don't you, in order to get that?
Some would be easy to encourage.
Yeah, wow. Okay, that sounds pretty good. So it's all next week, Tuesday through until Saturday.
So Saturday we have two plays again, we have an adjudication for them, and then there will be the award ceremony.
So that's when the like of everybody all together from the entire week.
Yes.
Ah, so that's right. The night so too.
Cups for best actor, best stage presentation, all sorts.
That sounds great. Well, Wendy, thank you very much for coming into Cambridge 105, telling us all about that. It's Wendy Walford of the Cambridge Drama Festival. Well, thanks very much indeed. It's Cambridge 105, 12 minutes past 6 o'clock, and Sky and Hattie are here. Sky is on green, Hattie is on red.
Lovely.
Yeah. See, this is a new way we go. I should say Emma is on purple, really. What are you doing? You're strangling yourself here.
Yeah, it's the colour of...
Oh, I see your lanyard. It's the same thing.
Okay. You are appropriately designated, yes.
Okay, so where are we going to start then as far
right, well, as well, we weren't in last week, so we have got quite a lot that we've missed out on. We should just mention that Divergent and Raid 2 were both excellent films.
Brilliant.
And if
films.
You can still catch them while they're in the cinema, then do so. I believe Bums and Seats also did reviews of both them on their last show, so check out their podcast.
Cambridge105.fm and on iTunes.
There you are. So, yes, we're going to start up with the sequel to The Amazing Spider-Man. And And Spidey amps up the action as he takes on live wire supervillain Electro in this high voltage sequel.
How are you?
I don't know what's going on with me.
I can see that. I believe you.
Strange. How I feel, I got so much. I got so much anger.
I can see that. I can see you don't want to be here. I can see you're scared. I can see you don't know what's happening to you. I can see that you don't want to hurt anybody. It's going to be all right.
Got a clear shot. Standing by.
I don't want them shooting me.
I'm not going to shoot you. You guys, this is my buddy Max. I told you about Max. No one shoots at Max. You and me, okay? It's just you and me talking. Whoa, whoa. Stay right there. Stay right there. Just be careful. The grate is the electricity.
I just wanted everyone to see me.
He makes a move, you take that shot.
How about you come with me?
Okay.
Go somewhere we'll talk. Away from all these people, okay?
Yeah.
Oh dear, ended a bit nasty, didn't it?
It did there, yes. For Peter Parker, played by Andrew Garfield, his double life as Spider-Man has been a struggle. But just as he's beginning to relax with girlfriend Gwen Stacy, played by Emma Stone, a terrifying new foe emerges. Max Dillon, played by Jamie Foxx, a downtrodden, lowly Oscorp employee, has a terrible accident in a tank of genetically modified electric eels. Emerging as the monstrous blue-skinned Electro, he embarks on a reign of terror with the power of electricity at his command. In addition to this electrifying new bad guy, Spidey also encounters Russian mobster the Rhino, played by Paul Giamatti, and the re-emergence of his old friend Harry Osborn, played by Dane DeHaan, and it leads Peter to realise that Oscorp is the common factor uniting his enemies. Jamie Foxx makes his striking superhero movie debut in this relentlessly thrill-packed sequel.
And, so what was that? Genetically modified electric eels?
Yes. So in a similar vein...
Got to watch those GM crops, haven't you?
So in a similar vein to the spiders that obviously bit Peter Parker and allowed him to be Spider-Man, similar kind of experiments have been going on in Oscorp, and a freak accident causes Max Dillon to become Electro. And we both really enjoyed it, didn't we?
They need to tighten up the health and safety procedures.
Yeah. It was really, really good. I was quite surprised, actually, because I'm not the biggest Spider-Man fan. Yeah, there you go. but no, it's quite well put together. I did have issue with the story at times, and
you hadn't seen the first one, had you?
I hadn't seen the first one, but it felt very sort of cheesy and cliche at times. But Andrew Garfield is so spectacular and on the mark as Spider-Man that you can forgive all of the problems with it, just because he's so good.
I agree, yes. Compared to Tobey Maguire in the first three Sam Raimi films. I watched the first Amazing Spider-Man and I thought it was a good lead-in. I think they suffered with their choice of villain with the lizard in the first one. And also it dealt a lot. It was trying to add in the extra level of what was going on with his parents in sort of the backstory, and they deal with that again in like the first 10-15 minutes, but it's like it feels like it's just tacked on there. It doesn't really
it doesn't have any impact on the story. It makes for a good opening, but it has no relevance to anything else
what
in
is,
the film.
What is it about these movies that feel that they have to have some sort of social dimension to it? You know, can they not just have, you know,
really
goody hitting villains? You know, that's kind of what it's about.
You've really got to feel for your protagonist now. It's got to hit you, hit you in the heart. And you've got to, it's the association as well. You've got to be able to put yourself in their place. It's the everyman character. This is where my film degree comes in really, really good, really handy.
But I would say that, yeah, the villains are a lot better in this. Jamie Foxx is great. Although you could say both Dane DeHaan and Jamie Foxx, they're good at one of their alter egos, because they have, you know, the person who they were before, they become the villain, the villain themselves. I felt Jamie Foxx's Electro was menacing. You know, you felt sorry for him, but at the same time, he's like absolutely mental. And also with Dane DeHaan, Harry Osborn, you sort of feel for him, but not so much when he turns into the Green Goblin.
Oh,
so
it's painful when he turns into the Green Goblin. It's cringeworthy. It's like, oh, Dane. He's very quickly becoming an actor to watch. He's very good at what he does, except for when he becomes Green Goblin.
Is he a potential leading man as opposed to the co-star?
No, I think it's difficult with him, because I think it's fair to say in a lot of his past roles, he sort of plays this sort of sickly, kind of downtrodden...
Yeah, Chronicle.
Yeah, Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah.
So I think it would have to be the right film to make him a leading man. He's never going to be sort of like the romantic, strong hero of a story. That's never going to happen. Mm. But I think he's a very, very interesting actor, and I really want him to sort of go out and do something different, but not this kind of different, because this is painful to watch.
Oh dear.
But it is a great action film. The special effects are immense. Lots of lightning flashing around, the web slinging.
All the electricity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's electric.
and the soundtrack's really good as well. They pick a really good thumping bassy number for Electro's theme, and also like the good string bits during his Spider-Man's aerial moves is also great as well.
And you know what? We watched it in 3D. I hate 3D films. I really hate 3D films, but this was really good. This is probably the best 3D film I've seen since G-Force.
They're still making films in 3D.
Yeah.
They are, sadly.
I must admit, the 3D is an improvement from the first one, because I watched the first one in 3D, and there were a lot of ghosting going on, particularly when they were looking at the like the city shots and things, whereas this one, they've improved it a lot. And as a standalone film, it's great. It also deals with a lot of sort of deeper bits that I'm not going to go into.
Yes, you don't need to see the first one to be able to understand and enjoy this one.
No.
I think that's also assuming that people have a sort of reasonable background knowledge of Spider-Man.
You kind of know what Spider-Man's about. If you don't, well, you know,
then you're probably not going to go see this film anyway.
See the film, so.
And it does set up for sequels, as you expect.
Very much so.
So there's a lot more to come, so stay tuned. So if you enjoy this one, check out what they have in store next.
Timings,
Cineworld tonight, 3D at 20 to 7, 2D at 20 to 8, half 8 is 3D again, and quarter past 9 is 2D. Viewer also showing a 2D at half 7, a 3D at quarter past 8, and a 2D at quarter past 9. And it'll be plenty of showings through the weekend and beyond.
Okay, coming next, we've got The Other Woman.
The Other Woman.
So Sky and Hattie are here on Thursday night's Entertainment Hour. We're looking at some movies. So we've done Spider-Man. Now, what are we looking at next?
We're on to The Other Woman. Ooh. So Cameron Diaz stars in a hilarious comedy about three women who team up to get revenge on their cheating man.
How did it go, weirdo?
Oh, it was good. We took a run on the beach. We met Mark's new mistress.
Amber.
It was
22,
good.
Super hot.
Are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous. I just got like an insane girl crush.
I think it's good that she's super hot. I feel like it brings up our group average.
This is not freaking sister wives, honey.
Are you sure that you're not angry?
Because letting it out is a whole lot better than having to tell the cops you didn't mean to hug her to death.
You're so funny.
Oh my God.
You'll see when you meet her.
What?
when I meet her.
I gotta admit, Kate might actually have a point about her bringing up the group average.
Do you guys care if I smoke?
No, I kind of want one too.
Since when do you smoke?
Since whenever I want to smoke.
Boy, this ought to be good.
I swear. If we find any more mistresses, I'm going to have to send her to rehab.
Okay, what do we make of that, guys?
Okay, New York lawyer Carly, played by Cameron Diaz, thinks she's finally found Mr. Right in the form of handsome and charming Mark. When he announces that his housekeeper has summoned him home to Connecticut to deal with a burst pipe, Carly decides to follow and surprise him. Bad move, Carly. When she rings the bell, she's greeted by his wife, Kate. Unexpectedly, the two women bond during a drunken evening. Then they learn that Mark is three-timing them with buxom Amber. Now the trio decide it's time to teach the serial philanderer an outrageous lesson that he'll never forget.
Wow, you definitely put that across in a...
Once more with feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, the Hattie button failed again.
Oh, no, sorry. Far too loud.
It does feel like we haven't had, like... I don't know if you can even say chick flick romantic comedy. It's like romantic comedies are sort of fallen by the wayside with, like, The Heat and Bridesmaids. You've kind of got this now sort of... women doing it for themselves, sort of like doing it.
What? No, this film is not about women doing it for themselves.
Well, no, all right, ganging up together then. do you get one?
I understand what you're trying to say. I just don't think we should make those kind of remarks about a film like this.
Okay.
But sure, I understand. Let's carry on.
And why shouldn't we make those remarks? I haven't seen the film, I can't really comment.
Because it's not about empowerment. It's, you know, it's women, oh, we've been wronged by a man and now all three of us have to team up. We can't do it on our own.
I presume he's painted as a complete toad.
Yes.
Yeah, would be, really. He is.
You know, it must take three of us to take him down. Oh, dear.
I'm sure it'll still be.
It's not about that.
But I'm sure it'll still be quite funny.
Yes.
We like Leslie Mann.
We do like Leslie Mann. And we like Cameron Diaz as well.
Yes.
She's fabulous.
So, we haven't seen it yet because it's only just previewed.
Haven't seen it yet. All that big build-up and you haven't seen it. Honestly.
I feel like I've let you down, Julian.
I bet Bummed on Seats have seen it.
Nicki Minaj is in it as well. Oh. Remember her? From such hits as Starships and Superbass.
A while ago.
Yeah.
If you want to catch it, it's on at Cineworld at 9:15 tonight and at View at 8:30. Cineworld is showing it tomorrow also at 10:01, 3:30, 6:25, 9:10, and 11:25. View are showing it tomorrow at 12:10, 3:10, 5:30, 8:10, and 11 o'clock. So do let us know what you think. And
we'll let you know what we think next week.
Are you singing it? Are we sing it tonight?
Probably not tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to go home and cook lasagna tonight.
Ooh,
that sounds nice.
Yeah.
But
have to come around.
Other films also to look out for is Tom Hardy in Lock, basically a very minimalist film. It just focuses on one man driving along the M6 and the different phone calls he receives throughout his drive. I'm not selling it very well, but it looks very intense and interesting.
It's probably more exciting because it's in a car and not in my office.
It's had pretty good reviews so far, and Tom Hardy has that sort of golden touch, really. Mm. So I think it would definitely be worth checking out.
For the kids, there's a new Tarzan animation coming out. Same story.
I saw a clip from that, a bit suspect, didn't really like that.
And also Trax, that looks interesting. Mia Wasikowska.
Oh, well done,
Sky. I believe. It's based on a true story of a woman who decided to go on a travel across the Australian desert alone. So, it's going to be like Into the Wild, but with hopefully with a happy ending.
Spoilers.
And also historical disaster movie, Pompeii. How realistic it is. We'll leave up to you, but they're to come out in the coming weeks.
Holding on to the last note, largely because Hattie's having a coughing fit over there, but she's put her glasses on, which means that something important is going to happen any moment now.
Yes, it is. Okay, so theatre around Cambridge. How exciting. This week at the AGC, we have Barefoot in the Park running until Saturday. Corrie and Paul are newlyweds who have just moved into their cold, eerie apartment in New York. Corrie is starry-eyed, Paul less so after staggering up five flights. Their building seems to be populated by unusual people, the most bohemian being Victor, there we go, whom Corrie finds entertaining. Corrie tries matchmaking between Victor and her lonely mother, but after a disastrous dinner party, she learns that walking barefoot in the park may not necessarily denote joie de vivre. In February, it is simply silly.
That's exactly what I thought.
So this is being put on by Boards, a local town group, who are known for putting on good productions. Great productions. Sorry, I'm not selling it. so it runs until Saturday. We've also got at 7:45, we've also got matinees, or a matinee now on Saturday. Prices are £10 and £8, with the matinee at £9 and £7. You can get tickets from the ADC Theatre box office on 01223 300085 or at adctheatre.com. So, elsewhere around Cambridge, this week at the Corpus Playroom, we've also got The Sunset Limited, which is a play by Cormac McCarthy, running Tuesday until Saturday at 7 o'clock. And How Do the Angels Sleep, also running until Saturday. That's a two-hander with two very talented actors, so definitely worth checking out. Again, tickets from the ADC box office or corpusplayroom.com.
I'm interested to see the Sunset Limited, actually, because Cormac McCarthy is well known for writing books that have been made into films like The Road and No Country for Old Men. So, I'm interested to see that one.
Yes, it should be good. We'll probably be heading down there as well. Elsewhere around Cambridge, Creative Cabaret have got their next cabaret on tomorrow night. So there's still a few tickets available, which is quite unusual because it usually sells out within days. So definitely check it out. It's always well recommended. Real variety of acts, films and music and food as well.
Food is always good.
Disney and Trinity 2, The Bells of Notre Dame at Trinity College Chapel, put on by the Cambridge University Pops Orchestra. It is sold out, it sold out within hours. It was amazing, but there may be returns, so it's always worth ringing the box office to check, and that's the ADC box office once again. So that's pretty much it for theatre around Cambridge at the moment. Next week at the ADC, you've got Hedda Gabler, The Angel Rails, and The Footlight Smoker, first one of the term, so always great to check
out. And of course
out.
The Mumford have got the Cambridge Drama Festival next
they
week as
do.
Well.
They do. Oh, I got an email about it today.
We had a guest in a little earlier on. Can you tell us all about it?
Sorry that I missed that.
You were
that.
En route.
I was en route. I will bring you more information about theatre next week.
Okay, thank you very much, Hattie. Thank you to Sky as well.